Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast. From newsounds.org and streaming live on Facebook, I'm John Schaefer. Eleanor Friedberger first came to our attention, and our studios, as half of the band Fiery Furnaces with her brother Matthew. That was back in the aughts. She's spent most of this decade as a solo artist and has just released her newest album, her fourth, called Rebound. It brings Eleanor Friedberger back to our Soundcheck studio, guitar in hand, to play a few songs for us. In fact, this first one is called Make Me a Song.
A pre-dawn song to open up the ground. We found the sound. Now give me a song, I can love you more. It's not about being pretty, it ain't about being perfect. It's that little piece of matter, the tough-hearted being, I could love you more. Make me a song, make me a sound, and vibrate, resonate. See what he's saying. Do you see what I'm saying? There's no seeing or the saying. You're missing the something. I could love you more. It's not about three songs fast, two medium ones. It's about the sun's atmosphere. It's about sonic boom. I could love you more. Make me a song, or make me a sound, and vibrate, resonate. It takes the ear to hear the waves and the heart to know your fears, so fear it. There's no hiding here. I could love you more, I could love you more. Two 153 octaves below middle C. There's a B flat where a wave every year crashes. I could love you more. Let us dance up that water. Let us have ears to hear, a song to agree with, a sound to cheer. I could love you more. Make me a song, make me a sound, and vibrate, resonate.
That's Eleanor Friedberger live here in the Soundcheck studio, and Make Me a Song, which is a track from her latest album called Rebound. Eleanor, it's good to have you back with us. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
So
thank you for having me.
Yeah, yeah. This song is one of a few tracks on the record that is sort of guitar-centric. You know, the guitar is the lead instrument. But
yeah,
there's a lot of this album that seems not to be that way. You know,
it's true.
So was that, were you going for intentionally for a different sound this time around?
I was, but at first I thought I wanted to make a really loud guitar rock record where I would like scream and, you know, have a lot of feedback. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'm capable of that sort of thing. And then I walked into a music store here in New York that I won't name, but it's one of those places, you know, I have a love-hate relationship because they always have really cool things in it, but you don't want to spend the money there necessarily.
Yeah.
And I walked in and there was this, I was going to buy a new guitar pedal actually, like to just as a new toy to kind of whatever, just mess around and get a new sound. And There was a late 70s or maybe early 80s, I'm not sure what the year is, I'm not much of a gearhead, Casio keyboard in there. And it's like the one with like a wooden exterior, and it's a 601. And I started playing it, and after about 30 seconds, I was like, you know what, I'm going to buy this instead of a guitar pedal. And I took it home, and I thought if I just wrote one song on it, it would be worth the price. And I ended up writing a ton of songs on it. And it really influenced the way I wrote the whole album. I mean, normally I start with lyrics, and in this record I started just writing these pieces or whatever on the keyboard, and you know, wrote melodies and then did the lyrics afterwards, which I know it's probably how maybe most people write, but that's never been the case for me. So if it sounds different, then that's why.
Well, what about Make Me a Song? Because that is guitar-led, and there's some pretty intricate wordplay in the verses there.
That's true. That was actually one of the there were two songs, and I'm going to play them both because I'm playing the guitar here today, but that I started kind of earlier, and that was one of them. And I had the basic structure and the chorus and that refrain. I knew I wanted to have a song that was not a love song, but where I said I could love you more. It's not like I could love you more, baby, but it's supposed to mean something else. And anyway, I really struggled because I knew I wanted it to be a long song and have a lot of verses. And then it was much later that I found the right words.
Well, I know lyrics are important, so
not to everyone,
but I mean, I know they're important to you. Which is why I noticed that the drinking starts early on this record.
Isn't it always? No.
Whiskey in like line one of the first of my Jesus phase. Uh-huh. Wine and Jameson's in the next song, mm-hmm. The Letter. What's going on there?
What does that mean?
Just coincidence?
I do like to drink, but that sounds kind of strange. Maybe not very healthy the way that comes out. No, sure, alcohol.
Good whiskey is proof that God loves us, you know?
For sure. I just think singing about drinking is, you know, that's one of the oldest traditions, right? So, I mean, I'm not really breaking any new ground there, but I do like to have a drink, and a lot of the stories, I guess, have that. You know, there's that kind of drunkenness swimming around. I don't know.
Do these songs, I mean, do they feel like stories to you, like short stories or just like snapshots from a larger story?
What do they feel like to you? It sounds like you have an answer.
No, I genuinely don't.
I don't think of that. I wouldn't say short story as if it's like literature, but they're stories for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't, I'm always kind of reluctant to give too much away, but there's not one song where I was like, nah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Just whipped it. Like there's definitely a story behind each song that's, real or whatever that means.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I ask is, you know, sometimes a song can give you a hint of something, of being just like a little window into a larger picture, you know? And it seems like a lot of the characters that inhabit your songs might fall in. So I guess maybe I did have an answer. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
But, you know, as we've often noted on this program, the great thing about songs is that you may have had a completely different idea of what I think that song
for
meant.
For sure, yeah.
And it's absolutely fine. Now, so you're playing it's just you and the guitar here today.
Yes.
But this next song you're going to do for us requires a little bit of backing track.
Yes.
And on the record, this song has a kind of syncopated, almost kind of reggae feel to it.
Sure.
were you thinking in those terms when you wrote it?
Well, it's funny. The first demo I made for this song, it's really heavy and very dark. And then I turned it into something much brighter and with this, you know, more fun kind of rhythm guitar that I guess, then with the syncopated kind of drum part and the arpeggio, like loopy thing, that synth line, I'm speaking so poorly about this song. Sure, it sounds like I love reggae, so if that's what it sounds like, that's fine. I wasn't, you know, I didn't set about to do that.
Yeah.
But I
yeah.
just definitely wanted a song with a upbeat feeling, which yeah. it has, and I think it's a good contrast to the very peculiar lyrics. That the story behind that, those are all that's a text message exchange between myself and another person.
You know,
they're mostly my text, so I wasn't ripping off that person too much, but it's a funny dialogue, I hope.
Even the title, Are We Good? Uh-huh. You know, it just, I mean, yeah, it does have that kind of very texty, Snapchatty kind of. Yeah.
I was reading this book that's a biography of the poet Edna St. Vincent Millay at the time, and it's all based on letters, and, you know, it just made me so, I mean, one of the many things that struck me was just like, God, we're never going to have this record of our lives in the same way, you know, and I was just like, ugh. And it made me like go to look through some messages that I, you know, like some correspondence with people that, you know, this was someone I was just texting with for a few months. Mm-hmm. So I have the whole record of that. I'm like, well, is this the closest kind of thing that I have? So I thought it was funny to turn that into a song.
So that's your version of Edna St. Vincent
sure.
Millay's letters.
Yeah.
Have you heard they're trying to like save her? I mean, you live upstate New York.
Yeah.
Her place is upstate
yeah.
New York. And
yeah.
they're trying now to kind of save it because they're out of money or whatever. So mm-hmm. anyway, funny that you should mention her.
Another New York.
Yeah.
New Yorker,
yeah. All right. So the song is called Are We Good?
Mm-hmm.
You want to play it for us?
Yes, I'm going to hit play.
Eleanor Friedberger. Are we good? Are we good? Are we good? Are we good? The song's called Are We Good? Eleanor Friedberger here in the Soundcheck studio. The song appears on her latest album, which is called Rebound. It's her fourth solo effort. And I'm going to contradict what I said, but that sounds nothing like reggae. I don't know what I was thinking when I said it had that kind of syncopated. Well, it does. It's clearly syncopated. But it's interesting that twice already you've mentioned going for a kind of darker, more edgy, distorted sound and not getting there.
Yeah, I wonder what that's about. I don't know. I guess that's I'm not cut out for that sort of sound. I don't know. I mean, that's interesting that you notice that. I don't have an answer. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm too bright and shiny.
I guess you know, you need to find your inner goth teenage self. Was there a version of you as a teenager that went through that?
No, I was like listening to Astral Weeks in my bed.
Van Morrison. Yeah.
I was listening to Buddy Holly. I was listening to I was 15 when the year punk broke. So I did also have Nirvana playing in my bedroom too.
Yeah. That's not the year punk broke. I'm sorry to tell you.
That's what the movie said.
I was around the year that punk broke.
Okay.
So tell me, what does the title Rebound refer to?
Well, I like album titles that kind of have multiple meanings. But specifically, Rebound is a nightclub that I went to in Athens, in Greece. Last year, I spent a couple months in Athens. Mm-hmm. And a Greek musician friend of mine, her name is Stella, she told me, if there's one thing you do before you leave, you've got to go to this club. You're going to love it. And she described it as like this 80s goth disco. And I was like, well, I don't like 80s music. I'm not into goth. I don't dance, But she was right. And it was like this relic, this like time warp. I mean, we were talking before, John, like about New York in the olden days. Yeah. And, I moved to New York in 2000 and, I didn't really go to any cool, the closest thing I got to what this was maybe like the Cooler that was on 14th Street.
Yeah, yeah.
That felt kind of, I think you could still smoke and stuff like that. But this just made me feel very nostalgic for a time that I never had here,
Right.
And it was a cool club.
Yeah. So you spent time in Greece?
I did, yeah.
You're half Greek, right?
Yeah, my mom's Greek American.
So do you speak the language?
Ligo, which means a little bit. Yeah. But I took some Greek lessons when I was there this last time. But no, I mean, my Greek friends would just laugh and say oiki, which means no. But I would like to.
Yeah.
I know a bunch of words, basically.
Greek music, some of the traditional Greek music is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Do you like
rumbetika music?
I like rumbetika, but I also like the stuff from Epiros up in the Northwest, the really bluesy stuff.
I don't really know that stuff so much. It's funny, I described this dance that happened at the club Rebound, which my friend told me is called the chicken dance, which is basically just, I guess, like a traditional kind of
what we call the chicken
dance. No, and it's just like this kind of dancing in a line, just kind of walking in a line, really kind of just swinging your arms back and forth, not like a chicken, but down, hanging low. And then I was reading about rumbetika and like the dancing that was that men would dance to that music, and only men were allowed to dance to it. And it was a very similar sort of dance. It's very solitary and
The slow foot movements.
Yeah, exactly.
For folks who don't know, rumbetika is the kind of the urban blues that grew up in the hookah bars and places like that in the 20s, right?
Yeah, 20s in Piraeus, and 30s. Which is the port in Athens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so you spend months in this country that's full of great old music, and you end up dancing in a
Cure ripoff music. But I did actually see some good rumbetika when I was there. But it's not as easy as you. It's not very easy to find like really authentic stuff. Actually,
yeah.
Same as in Jamaica, it's really hard to find
authentic reggae. Yeah,
true.
Yeah.
Which is, I went to. It's funny. I went to Jamaica after I went to Greece to visit a friend, thinking I would also like work on some music, and I didn't work on any music. It was a very different sort of trip.
But
anyway.
Did you eventually, in the fullness of time, do the chicken dance?
I did.
Really?
Yeah, no, I did it the night I went to the club. I tried it out.
Will you show us?
No, absolutely not.
I had to ask. Well, then, you must play another song.
Okay.
You want to do Everything?
Yes.
We're speaking with Eleanor Friedberger, and she's playing some songs from her most recent album called Rebound.
Twice about anything. Time will tell who's right about everything. And who cares what you think is mine? I wanted everything, nothing. Dream up a life with everything. A man in Greece, a girlfriend in Italy. It's everything or nothing. Palmer said she'd have three. That's everything. Be a film star and keep her integrity. It's everything or nothing. She wants nothing from you and everything too. Take to the streets and stay home. It's true, so true. And who's got everything and something to say?
Eleanor Friedberger, live performance solo of the song Everything. So that sounds like another of the early songs in the process that was probably written on the guitar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There were two, and I played them.
Yeah. So to come back to something you said early on in our conversation, that when you got this Casio keyboard, you just started writing all these other songs, and it felt different.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean there's like tons of other songs that are kind of waiting their chance to be heard?
There's definitely a handful, yeah.
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 So does this feel like it has set you up for yet another kind of left turn on the next time you go into the studio?
No, to be honest, I haven't started thinking about it too much, but it is nice to have, it's unusual for me to have leftover scraps, which I do have, which is nice. In fact, I went on a little mission to Atlanta before I started recording to hang out with my friend Bradford Cox, who's in the band Deer Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked for a second about maybe him recording the album with me or producing. And I played him all the demos, and it was funny. You know, we're very blunt with each other. And he, you know, there were some, he's like, this is Can I say the S? Can I swear?
Really shouldn't.
Okay. He's like, this is junk. Like, yeah. You know, throw this out. You know, no one ever needs to hear this. You know, and other things he was like, this is perfect. You don't need to change a thing. So it was kind of funny to see hear those reactions, you know, from somebody.
But you did end up producing the record yourself.
Well, and with Clemens Knieper, who recorded my previous record. And yeah, just the two of us worked on it together.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wrap things up with just a little bit of the closing track,
okay.
Rule of Action.
Mm-hmm.
You were telling me before we went on mic today, this is the demo.
Yeah.
How rare is that the demo makes it onto the final cut?
I don't know.
Well, you've made a bunch of records.
For me, I guess that's the first, yeah.
Yeah. So the answer then would be pretty rare.
Yeah, very rare. Very rare.
Eleanor Friedberger, it's been great having you back with us on Soundcheck today.
Thanks for having me.
This is Soundcheck. That's all for this Soundcheck podcast. Check us out at newsounds.org for other performances, in-studio videos, gig alerts, weekly music roundups, and more. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.